Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel reading from Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is our text. Last week was the parable of the rich fool, the man who had such an abundant crop of grain that he decided to build more barns. Last week, that rich fool had everything. He had enough to do this massive building project and enough to ensure a very comfortable retirement. His motto, as you might recall, was relax, eat, drink, be merry. Hakuna Matata. And that's exactly how he lived for the rest of his life. The kicker, of course, is that his life didn't last very long. That night, his soul was demanded from him. But the disciples, how different the disciples seem. The disciples had left everything to follow Jesus. They'd left their homes and families. They'd left their communities. They'd left their jobs. In fact, when Jesus came calling, the disciples sometimes simply dropped their fishing nets where they were and followed Jesus. Later, they were sent out with nothing. Jesus sent them with no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and with only one outfit. And yet there's a way in which that rich fool with his many treasures and the disciples with their no treasure are similar. They're both distracted. They are both consumed with things of this life. The rich fool, with his greed and covetousness, made idols out of his grain and his goods. But the disciples, with their worry and their fretting about food and clothing, did exactly the same thing. Their nothing, just like that rich fool's everything, was their God. Even feet that follow Jesus can carry hearts and minds that wander. And so it was with those disciples. Yes, it's a sin to always want more like that rich fool, but it's equally sin to be afraid of never having enough. And isn't that what worry and anxiety does? It leads us to fear that we'll never have enough. Worry knows that it can't be secure and that with what it already has. It recognizes that the future is utterly unknown and uncertain, and so the future is unsafe. That's why we worry. That's why we have anxiety. Tomorrow comes with no guarantees. No guarantee of food or of clothing or of work or of health. Even if you've got all of your I's dotted and all of your T's crossed. That's simply how this fallen world is. So the question isn't, how do I secure my future? Because you can't. But confronted with the uncertainty of tomorrow, the question is, in whom or in what will you trust? Will you take refuge in the God who made you and loves you? Or will you look for refuge in your own worry and anxiety? Will you live by faith? Now, your worry has a lot to say. Your worry says, on the one hand, that God either can't or that he won't take care of you. Your worry says that God must be unworthy, unreliable, or untrustworthy. And yet, as we gather today in this place, where our Lord Jesus Christ meets us with his word and his holy sacrament, we find the end of such worry. In Christ, God does not stand far away, coming across as unreliable or untrustworthy, but in Christ, God has drawn near to you. And in Christ, God inserts himself and his word right into the middle of your anxious, worrisome, distracted life. He brings himself to you so that he can take away that worry and remove it from you, so that he can be a refuge that you can hold on to when the worries and anxieties flood over you. This is the word of Jesus to you, dear disciple. Don't be anxious about your life. what you will eat, nor about your body what you will put on. And when Jesus says, don't be anxious, he's making a tremendous promise. Those words contain a promise for you. Because in saying, don't be anxious, Jesus is giving you himself, and he's promising that he will take care of you with his own life and with his own body. And can it get any better than this? Can it get any better than to have God himself tell you that there's no reason to worry? It's one thing when your friend or your neighbor or your family member tells you not to worry when they really can't do a whole lot about it. But it's another thing when your God says, don't worry, because he can do everything about it. And can there be any greater security than to know that your life and your body are in his hands, in his strong and scarred hands? Don't be anxious, your Lord says, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Think about food and clothing for a minute. What is food for? Food supports life, but food cannot create life. Clothes cover the body, but clothes can't make a body. What you eat and what you put on are simply things that God provides to support the body and life that he created. In other words, the food and drink are the lesser things, and your body and your life are the greater things, the greater gifts of God. Think about who you are. You are created in the image of God. You are the result of his promise and blessing to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And if God has made you, and if he has made you in his own image, will he fail to supply what you need for your body and your life? Or think of it this way. Which artist, having created a masterpiece, neglects and abandons it or lets it fall into ruin? Can you imagine Michelangelo creating something and then throughout the rest of his life simply ignoring it? Doesn't he rather pay attention to it so closely, to the tiniest detail, so that nothing escapes his eye or his care? You are God's masterpiece. You are the one whom he created. You are those whom he loves and cares for, and not even the tiniest detail of your life escapes his eye. Or consider this. Of all God's creatures, you are the most valuable. Yet you must tip your cap to the birds, and you must honor the ravens that fly, because though they neither sow nor reap, though they have neither storehouses nor barns, nor pantries nor fridges, they receive their food without worry. You ought to call the little wren your master and say to it, dear teacher, you have me beat. You sleep all night in your little nest without any worry, and in the morning you arise and are filled with joy and good cheer. You sit in a tree and sing praise and thank God. And then you go in search of food and find it. And yet I who have far greater reason to sing and praise and thank God, I am overcome by worry. Or think about the flowers of the field and honor them. You can say, thank you, little flowers, you who are eaten by cows and stamped by their feet. You don't have a needle or thread, yet you are magnificently dressed. You are more beautiful even than King Solomon in his glory. But I, even though I am the crown of creation, I am consumed by my appearance. Since you are greater than the birds and the flowers, don't you think that God will care for you as well? And what good does your worrying do? Can it add an hour to your life? Can it bring food to your table or clothing to your body? Now, I do want you to pay close attention to what Jesus says, because Jesus doesn't say that you have no needs. You do have needs. You need food, you need clothing, you need shelter. He doesn't say that you should act like material things don't matter. They do. We are material beings and creatures who require material goods. He doesn't say that you can live without any of these things. But his point is this. You can't live without the God who gives them. Your Father in heaven, the one who made you and all creatures, he knows that you need them. So trust him. That doesn't mean you should stop working. Work is his gift, so work hard, but trust him. Labor, sweat, and serve your neighbor by your work, but trust your heavenly Father and leave the care of your work to him. And think about how the world works. The world works for itself. The world works to get what it needs and what it wants, like that rich fool. But Christians work for their neighbors because the heavenly Father takes care of them. You work for your neighbors because your life, your needs are in the hands of your heavenly Father. So cast your work, cast your hearts and your cares and your worries and anxieties onto God's back. Because your God has a strong neck and he has broad shoulders and he can easily carry your load. And this is exactly what God does. He has come and he has carried your load. He has taken your load of worry and anxiety on himself. He suffered and he endured in the body exactly those things that you fear. Think about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He fasted and went without food. He hungered and thirsted even to the point of death. He was stripped of his clothes, mocked and beaten, his shirt taken right off his back. The prophet Isaiah described him this way: with no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him, as one from whom men hide their faces. Your worst fears, not only your fear of having nothing to eat and nothing to wear, but the fear of death and of separation from God the Father, those fears have been realized on the cross, but they didn't happen to you. They happened to your Lord. He bore these things on your behalf. Little flock, he did this, that you might have far more than earthly food and clothing for your back. Jesus, the Son, brings you the Father's good pleasure, and he sets before you the kingdom of heaven. You have desired and worried about little things, about lesser things, about bread for your table and a shirt for your back, but here is Jesus with even greater gifts. And even though you worry, even though you are distracted, he is faithful and he is steadfast. And his eye never strays from you. And he gives you what he himself has earned. You want clothes? He clothes you with his own righteousness and holiness, with a garment that never rips, stains, or wears out. You've been outfitted for heaven. And you want food? He feeds you with the very bread of heaven, with the forgiveness of sins in his own body and blood. You've got a meal that never spoils or rots, that nourishes and strengthens to life everlasting. The risen Jesus gives himself and his life to you, and he saves you from your worry. So seek the kingdom that he has won for you. Put on your baptism every day as one who is righteous and holy with the righteousness of Christ. Come and eat from his table, that body and blood that he shed and gave for you. Hear and trust his word. Fear not, Jesus says, for in me the heavenly Father feeds and clothes you and gives you his kingdom. So bring your worry, your anxiety, and you're nothing to this Jesus, for he gladly and willingly takes it. Your cares and your anxieties, no matter how big they are never too big for him. And as you come, find your future tied to his own death and resurrection. Find in him a future that is a resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come, a feast that never ends, clothing in Christ that will dress you for all eternity. In him you are secure, for he gladly and willingly gives you not only your daily bread, but all of this as well. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding. Guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.